720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio on the road with Dane here, our premiere episode. So excited to be here for you, talk a little bit of car culture, some motorsports lifestyle, travel, fun, family, road trips. We'll definitely build in a lot of food as well on the program, plus interviews with some of your favorite stars of the racing world, a little bit about their kind of lives off the track, and then some notable people that you may know and love but don't know they've got a huge car connection. And we're going to be touching on some of the great stuff and events happening all around the Chicagoland area with the cruise nights and classic car shows. So excited to be doing this 2 till 4 on Saturday with you here on WGN. And Lise Graham is going to be our producer as well. So she is in the booth. Super excited to have her involved. So Lise, like, welcome to the program.
Thank you. You welcome to you also.
Oh, well,
since we're brand new.
Mutual welcoming and welcoming to all the listeners as well. And so we're going to be talking about all those things. The kind of thing that even if you're not necessarily a car person, you're probably at this exact moment riding in a car. If you're going to look around and kind of survey your surroundings. So Lise, let's get into it. We're going to ask everybody, and because people have that connection with their first car, it's the one thing, you know, one of those things that everybody will remember what it was, whether it's a pleasant, fond memory or whether it's kind of a nightmare, you know, who knows. People remember their first car and some of those first experiences that go with it. And through the course of the program, we're going to be asking pretty much most all of our guests that. And we want the listener to be able to share that as well. So 312-981-7200, you can text in, you can call in and talk about your beloved missing car as you try to replace it. But at least for you, do you remember your first car? But you're a very athletic person. You teach spin classes. Or did you only have a first bike?
Oh, no. I did have a first car. 1996 Toyota Corolla.
Wow, the Corollas were good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like the most popular car on the street at the time. But I was three when 1996, you know.
Right.
So I got it way secondhand. It was my grandma's car initially. And then, you know, it required two keys. You had one to open the door and one to turn it on because the key got stuck in the ignition at one point. And yeah, I remember that car very fondly. It actually, you know, kind of saved my life in a car accident. So
at some point we're going to get into that story, how that car saved your life. It's important because otherwise you wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be doing this. And the listeners can go ahead again, text in 312-981-7200 or email in pictures of the car. We're going to get a Facebook page up for the show very soon, probably in the next couple days. But you can just email me at my station address. So dneal@wgnradio.com. Also your favorite kind of family road trip. You know, many of us remember, you know, kind of being stuffed in a car and saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? For many, many hours, having to go to the bathroom. And then you find yourself in maybe a wilderness wonderland or maybe an amusement park with a paper mache headed character. You never know. But either way, we've taken those road trips. Lisa, a road trip for you? Did you have to do that did you get to do that?
Every summer we drove up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And it was like a 6-hour drive. And, you know, back in the early thousands, my parents had some kind of rig with like a box TV, a little like 5-inch screen TV in the back seat, so my brother and I could watch 101 Dalmatians or whatever.
Nice.
But that was like the traditional. How about you?
Did some of those to some of the national parks? Did some? I think we did one where we went to all the Civil War battlefields. So no amusement parks, no roller coasters, no nothing. You know, but a lot of education. Or you went along, you know, the kind of the Revolutionary War things, or you just went to places that were Glacier National Park was one that I didn't appreciate at all. You know, when I was a kid doing it, but it's the kind of thing that we're going to take, and we're going to do that this summer. So we're going to talk about the guests, that with the guests as well. And we talk about guests and we'll get into it because our show is packed. So we got to get to our break and some of our first guests, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dive Stars. We mentioned it. Guy Fieri, good friend and a serious car guy is going to be joining us. And then we're going to have Scott Paddock, the president of Chicagoland Speedway. We're going to have Kevin Harvick, NASCAR star, and you know, he's more than a serious car guy, but you get to hear about his life off the track, some of the cool things he's doing on the support side, the cause side, the baseball side. And then Sarah Gavin from Expedia is going to be joining us to talk about family vacation. So we're going to, and then, as we said, we would touch on communities doing big things with cars and cruise nights. The people from Westmont will be in studio. Larry McIntyre and Ron Gunter, the mayor, will be here to talk about the things that they're doing and some exciting stuff happening in the summer. So text in, call in, 312-981-7200. It's Dane on the road, and we'll take a break here on 720 WGN.
Hey, this is Guy Diddy from the Food Network, and you're on the road with my homeboy, Dane. Put your seatbelt on. We're on the road.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, and on the line with us is a guy that's been rolling out as a cornerstone for the Food Network, New York Times best-selling author, Barbecue Hall of Famer, and on the motorsports side, serious street cred, having driven the pace car at the Indy 500 and been part of record-setting days in NHRA. And for the it's got to be 1,000 spots for Triple D. All would agree the undisputed patron saint of the independent restaurant, the one and only Guy Fieri. Welcome to the show.
Can you just do that again? Or, as a matter of fact, it's like my eulogy. That's awesome.
You know, Guy, I have to tell you, I pared it down quite a bit. You know, as you progress through your career, you know, there are so many things to mention. So I try to kind of pare it down, just the highlights. We ran the highlight film.
I forgot about the NHRA record setting. That was quite a day in Pomona, man. I have the trophy. I have the Wally at my house, which is one of my favorite things. But I forgot that it was a record setting. That's actually the truth. Good stuff, man. Good
yep.
Stuff.
And, you know, when we first met, it's got to be about 10 years ago at this time, and it was on set for Triple D, and, yes, it was at a diner, and, yes, we talked food. But we talked cars, too. I mean, from day one, totally about cars.
I'm sitting in front of my car builder's place right now here in Santa Rosa, the town that I live in, a place called Quartronics, and this guy Danny builds all my he works on all my toys, and I'm a car junkie and always have been. I had a very poor career in drag racing with my 68 Pontiac Firebird all tubbed out and terrible at that, but no, I love everything about it. I miss the days of being able to work on cars. You know, things have changed so much, but they're wonderful. I mean, the culture around cars, it's very similar to food, you know, and you know that. We talk about this all the time. You have a passion for it. You sit there and talk to your buddy about it. You sit there and go over it. You read magazines about it, you know, and that's in cars and in food. There's so much to share. And when as soon as you realize that you'll never master it all and you'll always be a student of the project, you'll really come to embrace it and appreciate it.
Now, fans are going to know that the awesome pretzel cart might have been your first vehicle, but, you know, as a guy now, you have a garage filled with dream cars. Like, what was your first car? Was it that Firebird, or were you driving like a, you know, an 84 Chevette, you know, with a window that didn't work?
No. I was always very particular about my cars. The first car I ever drove was my dad's ranch truck. That was this old pickup truck, and I drove that into the ground. And I was, you know, I was trying to do everything. I was trying to drag race in it. Anything I could do with this truck, you know, an old Ford Camper Special. So I had, you know, that was what I drove when I was like, you know, 14, 15. I was learning to drive. But I, my first car was a 280Z, a Datsun 280Z, pristine
nice.
Condition, awesome car. And matter of fact, I'm still always on the quest to find that great 280Z to fill the slot. Unfortunately, the one that I had, you know, it darted into the center of a telephone pole, but that's all.
Yeah, but isn't that crazy? Like, people always, as they get a little bit older, can kind of look back, no matter what kind of car it was. My first car was a 74 Monte Carlo with purple windows, but I want one. I want another one of those now.
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, I'm on the quest. I'll stand and talk to anybody about any car. I'm sitting in front of a K5 Blazer right now that I'm looking at that's got, it's lifted and running 35s, and I'm just sitting there going, man, I've always wanted a K5 Blazer. So, I mean, it's in that thing. If you love cars, then you love, and I love anything. I'll talk to kids about their souped-up Supras, and then I'll get into the lowriders, and I'll get into the lifted trucks, and I'll get into the crawlers, and I'll get into the drag cars, and it's just, I mean, it's such a great culture, and so much to, you know, like I said, so much to learn. You never get bored.
Now, you are, as far as all the food people, you've got to be the biggest sports fan. You know, whether it's with the Warriors in the NBA, baseball, your beloved Giants, and, of course, you're part of Raider Nation. But having, you know, seen auto racing up close with the Indy 500, of course, recently, you know, us at the Daytona 500. I mean, which was absolutely awesome, by the way. Is there any sport that really is totally different and unique to see in person?
I don't. I think you have to see NASCAR in person. NASCAR, all motorsports, matter of fact, I'd say in person. You can watch desert racing on TV and go, wow, look at that. They're jumping over the sand dunes. You can see people going around the track at 200 miles an hour. You can anticipate someone doing 0 to 60 and nothing, you know, basically watching something take off faster than a jet, but it has time. You can see these things happen. But until you're there and you can smell it, you can feel it, you can hear it, you know, all of your senses are fired up on it, you really don't get the chance. It's like someone trying to describe to you eating the greatest dish you've ever had in your life, and they use all the right vocabulary, and they use all the right explanations, but it would never create that sensation. That's the exact same thing with motorsports. I think that you have to go there. And don't, you know, people tell me, say, oh, yeah, that's real tough, driving around in a circle, you know, and all that safety equipment. Okay, just go stand next to it, all right?
Right.
See what happens. And tremendous respect. You always have respect for people who are doing their profession the best that they can do it. But when you go there and you see it, you know, Quint Boyer's a good buddy of mine in NASCAR, and I know his discipline and his attitude and just all the components that go on to racing. And then to see, you know, Daytona 500, we were there, and then to see him go out because another driver made a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, I told Quint, I don't know who's been upset. You know, I'm me. I'm pissed. He says, you know, it's part of racing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. They are some of the, and they're top athletes in the sport too. Now, Guy, you mentioned some of the connections, with food on Triple D. Each, city is kind of presented as kind of a road trip adventure. And of course, you know, finding great food and sharing it with fans. And there is this competition to see how many places they can go. I was talking with John Force's guy the other day, and he bragged to me that he had hit 43 Triple D spots so far.
Yeah.
But think about this. The show has taken you where you get to see all these spots on the food side, but also you're visiting those communities. Are there any places that you rolled into and then you guys were like, wow, this, you know, you're getting to see America, hey, the world, you know, that you were like, wow, I'd come back here?
Well, I mean, and I'm not going to be cliche. You and I have known each other long enough, so I don't have to, you know, give you any stories. I got to be honest with you. Chicago is my favorite food town.
Nice.
And I mean, that's kind of out there to say that, but you got one of the greatest mix. There's such a great mix of people, and there's such a unique character and so much culture, and it's, you know, and I feel it's easy to get around. So that's one of my favorites. But you know what? I quit trying to pinpoint how it's going to go. I just kind of, we end up, I go eat, we check it out, and I'm finding, especially now while we're in the middle of this food revolution, you know, finally everybody's getting it straight, and we're getting back into making real food for real people, and everybody's really treating this as the artistry that it is, that, I mean, I'm just rolling into small little towns of anywhere, and I was just in Orlando shooting, and just found fantastic places, you know, out-of-the-way places. I found a guy in a truck making pastrami. That's how he makes his pastrami and lox, you know, it's in a big black Mack Tool truck, and I'm like, dude, you're in Orlando when it's hot and you're a black truck. But he makes the bomb pastrami. I'm like, real deal, old school, legitimate pastrami. And that's just, so you know what, if you just, and I say it on the show all the time, you slow down, you get off that beaten path where everybody's going to all those chain restaurants, you just start asking around and say, where's the mom and pop joint? Where did this? Don't go and expect everything to be phenomenal. Sometimes they only sing one or two songs really good.
Right.
Go and have what they do best. And it's out there, man. It's really out there. But I think Chicago is one of my favorite cities to go to. You can find it. You can find it all.
It's good to hear the love for the home cooking. Now, on the show here, and of course, excited to have you on our premiere episode.
And congrats, by the way. Congrats. It's been a long time coming, Dane. You and I have talked for years and years. And I know your talent, and I know your expertise, and I know your passion and your enthusiasm. You're always such a great host to everybody. I mean, every time I've come on the show, it's been nothing but a good time. And I'm glad that you really are putting my two favorite things together. So now if you could just do it live or do it on television as well.
Oh.
Do we get a podcast, or is there a live stream on the internet?
Yeah, well, yeah, WGNRadio.com. People can, you know, they can see what's going on. I don't know that it's compelling visual television. I think I'll stick to being a radio guy.
Just take a little Dan Patrick to it, you know, and you put it together. But you've done great. So big congrats, man, and thanks for having me. You're always on top of the game.
Yeah, and the last thing on the show, we're sharing some travel and trips families can take. And we are taking, as our family, and you've met all of my kids, and we're going to be taking our first, like, family truckster Clark Griswold trip to maybe Yellowstone or something. And I wanted to get, as people share those, have you done all those, either as a kid with you and your sister or with the boys and Lori? Have you done one of those? Get in the car, drive someplace?
Well, here's the funny thing about it. So just as we were getting ready to get on the air and talk, I was over at my truck driving school because I'm getting my commercial driver's license.
Yes.
Because I have this gigantic RV that in the state of California you have to have, if it's over X amount of pounds, and this thing's a monster. It's a semi-tractor trailer, but with an RV on it.
Yep.
And I'm doing a trip with the family, and actually it's going to come out on Food Network in the fall. But I've always wanted to drive my family across country. So we're going to drive from California all the way to Florida and everywhere in between. And we're going to go on a family food cultural adventure for 6 weeks. And so we're all gearing up. We take off in June, and I've been in the middle of all my classes and all my, you know, training to get my truck driver's license. So I can drive my big monster. But, yeah, we'll be setting off with the Renegade Cross Country, and I will give you all the details. Matter of fact, we should meet up somewhere in between. And
yes. We'll meet at the world's largest ball of twine that's somewhere in Nebraska or something.
That's what my kids are making fun of. Oh, my gosh, we're going to see a moose made out of wax, aren't we, Dad? And I'm like, if there's one, we'll stop.
You know we will. Okay. Well, Guy, I'm going to let you get back to doing what you're doing. I want to encourage all the listeners, of course, GuyFieri.com for all of the all the swag, all the stuff, FoodNetwork.com for the schedules, diners, drive-ins, and dives. It's on all the time, but specifically Friday, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Guy's grocery game Sunday, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. And then go to Amazon and get Guy Fieri Family Food, his new book, where you can get you can eat the same things. You can prepare and eat the same things that Guy. So, Guy, thanks so much for all you're doing. Thanks for being part of the show today. I appreciate it, man.
You're the best, brother, and continued success, and I will get you the update when the voyage begins.
I know. It's so great about the CDL. That's a tough test.
Dude, you're telling me. But I passed all my written. All I got to do is my final driving exam. I have to wait 2 weeks because I have my permit, and I'll be on the road, and I'm excited. But, yeah, it's not – you got to – I give all those guys credit. There's folks out there that are driving trucks. They got to go through quite a bit.
All right. Good luck, man. We'll talk to you soon, and then just keep me posted.
I'll talk to you about the trip across country, man, because it's going to be a blast.
Oh, we would love it. Best of the family.
Be good, brother. Congrats.
Hi, this is Amy Doulibon with Phoenix Raceway, and you are on the road with Dane Neal on WGN.
720 WGN, it is Dane Neal on the road here on Saturday, and with the race weekend, the excitement building as NASCAR moves around the country. The place that they're in right now is very familiar. It has taken so many things from Chicago along with us, like Portillo's hot dogs, of course, our Cubs spring training down there, my Aunt Helen, for one, and down there in the middle of all of it with her hand on the pulse of so much of the excitement happening at Phoenix International Raceway. She is the Senior Manager of Communications. Amy Doulibon, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Amy, I know that there is so much calm before the giant and massive storm that is a race weekend in motorsports and specifically in NASCAR. You guys work throughout the year for the couple race weekends that you do, but now it is upon you. You're in the eye of the storm as it's here.
Yes, sir. We've got a crazy busy race weekend here. We've got the entire industry upon us, and we are glad to have them. It's an exciting time here. Wonderful weather. It's a little hot, but, you know, nothing that those Midwesterners, the Easterners mind.
A little hot. Yeah, we would settle for a little hot. It's, you know, we've had really a mild winter here in the Midwest, but still, you know, you can't beat Arizona in the wintertime especially, and certainly for a race weekend. Now, 51,000 people make their trip. They're all on the road heading out to the Speedway for you guys. And so talk a little bit about the excitement and the unique experience that you get there at Phoenix International.
Well, yeah, Phoenix Raceway is a destination track for sure. It's nestled in the Estrella Mountains, so you just have the most beautiful setting for some of the most fantastic racing that motorsports can provide. We are underway with the DC Solar 200, and that is the first Dash for Cash race of the NASCAR season, and the first time it's been to Phoenix Raceway, actually. So in addition to, you know, wanting to make it into Victory Lane today for all the NASCAR Xfinity drivers, they have a shot at a $100,000 check as well. So it's a very exciting time for today. And then tomorrow will be the big race, the Camping World 500, and the debut of the new series sponsor, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series here at Phoenix.
Yeah, it's exciting. Got a chance to get out to Daytona this year and see kind of the beginning of that, and exciting to see that new sponsor. When it comes to NASCAR and sponsors, you know, there's so much talk about sponsors kind of rotating all the time in the world of racing, but when it comes to that overall series, that top division, the Cup Series, it really almost never changes. So excited to have Monster on board.
Yes, and we're excited to have Camping World here for this weekend. They've been a long partner of ours, and it's a perfect fit. We have almost sometimes upwards of 8,000 RVs on property, and they call it, you know, Zoomtown USA here at Phoenix International Raceway, and it's the NASCAR family. People have been camping next to each other for decades, and so it's a little city here that we have here at Phoenix Raceway.
See, that's crazy. I think that is one of the things that is unique to motorsports, and specifically a lot to the NASCAR series, is the fans. They do travel. They travel well, and they want to really enjoy an extended stay when it comes to the track. We've got so many different sports here. You know, you've got the NBA, and of course, the Cubs and the NFL, and people do tailgate, people do hang out, but nothing like racing. And then when you add on the extra pressure of having the event called Camping World, I mean, I'm sure you're seeing some serious camping.
Oh, yes. They've been out here all week long tailgating. We have the Busch Garage that's been providing live entertainment. We had Friday night shenanigans there for St. Patrick's Day. So they've all been waiting for tomorrow, the Sunday Camping World 500 on Sunday, and we're excited to have them. I mean, that's one of the, you know, like you said, the unique parts about this sport is the NASCAR neighbors, as they call them, the families of, you know, RV campers that have been to the track for years and years. They get the same spot. They know each other. They see each other maybe only twice a year for the races, but that does not mean they are, you know, not family. So in addition to that, what makes NASCAR so unique is the access to drivers. I mean, it's not like you can go every day onto the field and, you know, be on the sidelines with your NFL team, but these fans get up close and personal with all of the drivers. They can get hot passes to go, you know, in the garage. They can get pit passes to walk up and down the pits, and they can see driver appearances at the Budweiser roll bar. So it's pretty unprecedented access that they get.
Yeah, you really do. And for those people that haven't been out to a race, yeah, you get out there and the drivers are usually, you know, it depends. Obviously the action can get heated and everybody's got personalities and all that stuff, but they are really excited to talk to their fans. And like you said too, there's that ability to get kind of up close and personal with almost like in the huddle, like you would in a football game when you can walk through those garages and see them working.
Exactly. And as you know, the diehard race fans, they can see the inspections going on of the cars. They can see the entire crews working on the cars. And then if you have a pit pass, you're seeing the pit stops going on right in front of you. So it's really exciting.
It is. Okay, so for drivers, and this is another thing about the series, especially NASCAR too, is, you know, as every in sports and in different communities, everybody has their own team, their own players, but it's kind of an all-star game every week on the driver's side when it comes to racing. So who do you guys have that people are going to be loving to see this weekend there in Phoenix?
Well, we will have the 2016 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion here. That's Jimmy Johnson. He won his seventh championship last year to tie for all-time wins with legendary drivers like Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt Sr. So he'll be back on the track in the number 48 car. And then we have Kevin Harvick, who's won six of the last eight races here. So he has a chance to become the ninth driver to win nine or more races at a single track. And there's just something about Phoenix. He knows this track. He knows how to win. And so we'll see if he makes it to victory lane on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Kevin is on the show with us today. So excited to have him on along with you as he goes to make some history down there in Phoenix. So, Amy, for you, like, how did you get to be, you know, the communications manager at Phoenix and in racing? Did you grow up loving cars? Did you have, obviously you had cars in your family, I'm guessing, unless you were big bike riders. But what was your connection to motorsports growing up, if you had any?
Well, I'm from the South. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. So motorsports is, you know, very popular down there. Dawsonville, Georgia is where Chase Elliott, driver number 24 cars from. His dad, Bill Elliott, is a legendary driver. So
yes.
He's right in the Georgia neck of the woods. There's David Reagan is also from Georgia. So there's some racing ties there. But I've just always been a sports fan. I love telling the unique stories that sports provides. There's the great connection. There's something about, you know, the emotional attachment that fans have to the sport. And let me tell you what, motorsports fans are like nothing else. I mean, they are just diehard, committed fans. It's, you know, very interesting when you're at driver introductions and you hear the cheers and the boos. And a friend of mine asked, why do they do that? And that's just the sport. You know, they have their favorites. They love to hate some of the drivers, but you know, they love the racing no matter what.
Yeah. Wow. Awesome. Bill from Dawsonville. That's great. You've got that connection. That's pretty great. And you are right, too. It's a passionate group of fans, and it's always a great event. Not only the racing that happens on Sunday, of course, for Camping World 500, but throughout the whole week, just that camaraderie that's out there as people enjoy the food, the fun, family entertainment, and everything that I think racing has to offer. So before we let you go, Amy, we want to give out the website, phoenixraceway.com. You can get tickets for that November race, because coming up a little bit later on the season, you guys are one of those tracks that is lucky enough to have two big events, and yours is right there helping to choose who's going to be this year's champion.
Yes, our November race is the semifinal race this season, so that will determine the championship four that will compete for the series title in Homestead, Miami. So that all comes down to our race. The field is narrowed down to the final four that have that opportunity to win the entire series championship. And so the drivers are not holding anything back. So by the time they come back here in November, pressure is on, stakes are high, and it makes for a very exciting race.
Oh, it's going to be great. Tickets, you can get all the tickets information, pit passes, and schedules for driver appearances. I'm sure there'll be a lot of exciting things happening. PhoenixRaceway.com is the website for all of that. And then, Amy, before we let you go, whether it's, you know, some of the celebrity guests that we have or some of the race drivers, everybody has to start somewhere. So what was your first car? Did you have a memorable car? Was it something great that you saved up for, or something embarrassing that you just lived through? What was it?
Actually, a little bit more embarrassing. I crashed my father's Acura Legend about a block away from my house about 5 hours after I got my driver's license. So I like to stay on this side of the track where I can promote the good racers that are out there.
Safety first. Okay, let the listeners know. Amy Dulabon, Senior Manager Communication, Phoenix International Raceway. Get back out there and enjoy some of the action and excitement, as I'm sure 51,000 other people will be doing. And thanks so much for being on WGN today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, this is Scott Paddock, president of Chicagoland Speedway, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
On the road with Dane here on WGN 720, 312-981-7200 to add your thoughts to the program, and in studio with us to kick off what is going to be an exciting spring and summer of motorsports lifestyle talk is a man who lives it. He is there as the president of Chicagoland Speedway, and here with us on the road, it's Scott Paddock. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be back in studio.
We have talked over the years about motorsports, auto racing, the number one spectator sport as far as actual viewers and watchers, maybe just behind the NFL in popularity. And when it comes to Chicago, and we've talked about it before, maybe underrepresented as far as media attention on the sports side, but there are a lot of car lovers here in the area.
No doubt about it. 1.5 million motorsports enthusiasts self-identified in the Chicagoland market. So you know, it's not by accident that NASCAR made the strategic decision many years ago to move the kickoff of their playoffs to a market like Chicago. They wanted to give it that big platform, that big stage it deserves, and what better market to do that than the third largest media market. And we're growing. I mean, it's only been 16 years since our existence. We're still a newbie in town, but the enthusiasm is there. And what's great is while the members of the media in Chicago didn't really grow up with this sport in this market, they're very intrigued by it, and they're very open to talking about it, and I think they're fascinated by it. And so we've gotten a great receptivity from the media, and we know this is a very competitive sports and entertainment market, but it's also one that gives you access to tremendous resources like media outlets, like Fortune 500 companies. And what we found is if you're willing to roll your sleeves up and go to work and tell your story, people will listen and embrace that. And we've got a great story to tell.
I think there's a lot of stories in the area that people kind of share along with you of their story with motorsports, automotive lifestyle. I mean, think about this. Probably all of you who are listening right now, or at least 99%, you're probably in a car right now. If you're honest with yourself and maybe you look in the rearview mirror, you know what it is. And one of the great things about it, and Scott, you working in that end of it, but there are so many people who are automotive enthusiasts that, you know, you think about all the cruise nights and car clubs and ways that people are attached in and around that world, but maybe on more of the civilian side.
Yeah, people love cars. People love speed. That's kind of a common bond that many people have in this market. And if there's anything that I've learned about Chicagoans too, they love big events. You know, and I always give the example, I'm not an avid horse racing enthusiast, but I love the Kentucky Derby because of what it stands for, that bigness, the spectacle, the pomp and circumstance, the pageantry, that festival kind of atmosphere. That's what a NASCAR Cup weekend is all about. It's the one time a year the best stock car drivers in the world descend in our marketplace. And, oh, by the way, we happen to kick off their playoffs, so it's an even bigger deal. And the event weekend is defined by so much more than just racing. Music is a big part of it. We'll have headline musical entertainment acts, camping, tailgating, this incredible sense of community, sponsor engagement, kids programming and activity. So it's really one of those bucket list kind of items that I tell everyone in the sports world, you haven't really experienced everything until you've checked that box and checked out a NASCAR weekend.
It is. We've talked about the fact that, you know, up close and in person, it is a completely different experience than maybe you're getting on television. But it is that family experience, and NASCAR has done everything that they can do. NHRA does a lot of that as well to make those drivers, make it kind of an interactive. There's a lot of things for the kids to do, and we've talked about how accessible the drivers are. But, you know, people know a lot of the things that I do here at the station are food and tailgate related as well. And there is no tailgate experience like a racing tailgate experience. So, you know, you kind of oversee for the safety and enjoyment of all there. What do you have any like crazy tailgate stories that you remember or people?
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, when we opened our doors in 2001, tailgating meant, you know, you pop open your trunk, right? You lay out some cold cuts. Maybe you've got a little tiny barbecue grill, you know, going.
A styrofoam cooler with a couple blue ribbons in there.
And now fast forward to 2016, 2017. And, you know, there's tiki huts and tiki lounges that are set up, and there's almost like people replicating in our infield. People bring their couches and their love seats, and they set up almost like their family room in the infield.
Right.
And then the competitive nature comes out too with these tailgating experiences. Everybody wants to one up one another and show who's got the best barbecue sauce, who's got the best ribs. And it gets back to this wonderful sense of community. You could be just walking around and people will recruit you in. It's like inviting you into their home and hey, check out, they want to check out their spread and compliment their culinary skills. And it's just food has a way of bringing people together in this incredible sense of community. When you combine that with a NASCAR environment, I mean, it's a recipe for success.
Right. The recipe for success. And it isn't just the people in the infield and around. Of course, it is a lot of that. But also the drivers are on board with this, too. I mean, I could tell you when I first started covering the sport, it was basically craft services. You know, it was concession stand food. And now a lot of these drivers and teams have chefs that travel with them. I mean, everything has been elevated.
They really do. They have chefs. It's about convenience, but it's also about health and wellness, too, because you know, in the old days, there wasn't a whole lot of premium on nutrition and strength training and conditioning. Now there is. These teams have a nutritionist on staff. They have a chef on staff. They have a strength and conditioning coach on staff because they know that, you know, it's not easy driving that race car for 3.5 hours in temperatures of the car that could reach 140 degrees. And they're going to sweat a lot of fluids out. Nutrition's a big part of it. And the pit crew members, Dane, if you can shave a fraction of a second, a tenth, a hundredth of a second off a pit stop, that can be the difference between taking the checkered flag and finishing in the 11th or 12th position.
So you're going to see even the pit crew is going to be kind of trained super. You're not going to see a Chocolate Myers like ambling over the wall?
No, the days of seeing a guy in the pits smoking a cigarette, those are long gone in the sport. Now, NASCAR actively recruits college athletes, a lot of college former football players are now pit crew members in the teams, and they work out just like a high-conditioned athlete does.
Wow.
And strength and training and fitness and nutrition is a big part of the regimen because, it's the difference between taking the checkered flag and finishing in the back of the pack.
We've known and we've always promoted it as obviously a sport, but you get those people that are in the periphery that say, hey, you're just turning, you know, left or whatever for a few hours. It's not necessarily a sport. But I think that will, once you see, you know, the physical demands that are in there, and then if you're kind of building in some of those regimens on the athletic side where these are finely tuned athletes as opposed to just, I don't know, American sports stars, right? You're going to see that kind of change in perception.
Yeah, you know, next time you watch a race, watch the pit crew, watch the agility and the athletic dexterity as they hop over the wall and, you know, get into position. And it's all about precision. And they're doing what they're doing, changing those four tires, putting fuel in, making wedge and track bar adjustments in 12 seconds. So they have to be a well-oiled machine in order to pull that out. So, and the technology in the sport is so amazing. I mean, these OEM, these auto manufacturers spend literally billions of dollars in NASCAR every year. This is their laboratory. This is where they do their R&D. And what they learn out on the racetrack is a lot of what is applied to the technology that you find in the showroom, in the vehicles you purchase Monday through Sunday.
It's so cool to see how the sport has kind of changed, progressed, advanced, and people are enjoying it on a regular basis. And like you said, too, a lot of the advancements in racing are what drives what people are seeing in their cars and some of the advancements on the road next year today. So we want to ask you, of course, thank you for being on the road with us, especially in our kickoff episode. So, Scott, what was your first car? Did you save up for it? Was it a hand-me-down? We talked to Steve Grzanich on the opening Bell show, the business show. I'd asked him what his first car was, and he said, you know, Dane is kind of a boring car. I think it was a Chevy Chevette, right? He saved up for it. It had low miles, got it from a nice elderly lady nearby that took care of it. I said, no, it's not a boring car. It is reliable and stable, just like the people need you to be on the opening Bell. So for you, Scott, what was your first car?
You know what? I had a Buick Skylark. And nice. Then I transitioned into a Pontiac Grand Am.
Oh, there you go.
So I was a Buick and Pontiac guy early on.
With the sporty side, right?
The sporty side, that's right. I had to fit in it, too, by the way. So
you had the sunroof.
Room was important. That's right. I always had to have the sunroof.
And the Grand Am, of course, to keep the sporty side out there at Chicagoland Speedway, chicagolandspeedway.com for all the action. Get out there and see him and enjoy yourself some racing. Scott, thanks so much for taking time and being on the show today.
Thanks a lot. It's always fun hanging with you, Dane.
Always fun hanging with you. Wanted to get through this. Lisa printed out for us. Elise gave us some of these things. 312-981-7200 for your first car. And I can read them now, actually. So 312, a 1968 American Motors, so an AMC Rambler. Every time I left turn, the horn would blow. 2 weeks to fix it, and made almost nothing but right-hand turns for 2 weeks on the 68 Rambler. And then the 815, the first car was a 67 Mustang Fastback. The dad worked with his dad to fix it up. Took 5 years, wrecked it 6 times, finally sold it. And then the 847, a 1971 Ford Pinto, the dangerous car. It's yellow with the black interior, kind of looked like a lemon going down the road, but was a great car. And then we did mention the 87 Oldsmobile Cutlass 442. That was a classic. So stay tuned on the road with Dane. When we come back from the break, Kevin Harvick, NASCAR superstar, is going to join us here on 720 WGN.
Really did just drive around.
Yeah, the Kevin Harvick Foundation, and if we can change the direction of, you know, a handful of lives here and there and you know, get these kids the opportunity to do something, and hopefully we're making a difference. I feel like we are. We got green grass and two trees. Hey, this is Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Jimmy John Ford Fusion, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN. This is real life
in the real world. 720 WGN, is Dane Neal here on the road with Dane in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. And on the line with us, one of the world's top drivers, former Cup champion and fan favorite with some serious Chicagoland street cred as its inaugural race champion, the driver of the number 4 Jimmy John's Ford Fusion for Stuart Haas Racing, the one and only Kevin Harvick. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Kevin, I mentioned Chicagoland, and you are a beloved figure here because of something that can never be taken away, your imprint in history. But that was 15 years ago in racing. You're still at the top of your game. But is the excitement still the same so many years later?
It is. You know, I think my change to Stuart Haas Racing really obviously changed my perspective on, you know, where my career was and the excitement level of just showing up to work, you know, went way up. So, you know, I think over the past 3 years, we've performed very well. We've built great relationships with my crew chief and my whole team and really everybody at Stuart Haas Racing. So it's been a lot of fun. There's still nothing better than showing up to the racetrack every week, trying to beat 39 other guys that are on the racetrack with you. And that's really what drives me, is just the competition itself. And I just love to compete.
Well, you've won and been successful all types of racing, kind of the period where you got into it. You've seen some changes as NASCAR tries to make it more enjoyable for fans, more excitement, kind of having some of those later races of the season be more relevant. And you've had success in all of those. What are you thinking about this as far as the rule changes when it comes to this year? I know it's going to be exciting for the fans. That's what they're looking to do. But for the drivers, how's the response?
Well, I think from a driver's standpoint, you know, especially from my standpoint, you know, you have to keep up with the times. And in order to keep up with the times today, you're going to have to make changes. And you know, I think for myself personally, I think that a change, you know, really helped my career, really helped the direction and kind of reshaping where I am today. So I think when you look at the sport and you look at the changes that were made to the point system and the way that things are going to work, it's going to make every week matter. And not only is it going to make every week matter, but during every week you have, you know, points that go towards the end of the year in the first two segments. And then obviously in the end, you know, the winning still trumps everything from a point standpoint. But it's a changing landscape. You know, I think when you look at our world today and you look at attention spans and you look at TV, the TV needed a break. You know, the fans needed a break, and you build that into the race, and all of a sudden, you know, every other sport has quarters and breaks and things built into their sports to make it convenient for TV to run those commercials and things that make our world go around. So I like the changes and looking forward to seeing how it all plays out this season.
You mentioned Stewart Haas Racing. That is one thing and a lot of success there, and I know that you'll do great. Now you've got Ford. What are your thoughts on that as far as the changing of the make?
Well, we definitely didn't make the changes expecting to be any worse, that's for sure. I think when you look at Ford and the things that we've been able to be involved with up until this particular point, they're very involved from the top of the company down. You know, their company was built on a race, way back when. And they loved a race. They have supported everything that we've done at Stewart Haas Racing. And, you know, I think the optimism of everything that we've done as a company switching over to Ford is very high. And the expectations are the same. And that's to go out and compete for wins and try to put ourselves in a position to win a championship. But it's been a lot of work. The guys in the shop have had a lot of work changing all the cars over and learning all the new tools, you know, from computer programs and databases and simulation programs. All those things are brand new. So there are definitely some bumps in the road, and will be some more bumps in the road. But, you know, I think once we get everything settled, I think as a whole, Stewart Haas Racing will be able to stand on its own and make all of its own decisions and do the things that it takes to hopefully put us back in position to win more championships.
You see, you talk about the advancements on the car side, the tech side, the computer side, and all of those things that puts the cars, the drivers, the teams on that cutting edge. When it comes to the drivers themselves, you guys are doing that as well. I mean, there are a few drivers now who resemble maybe Mr. Excitement, you know, Jimmy Spencer from many years ago. And, of course, you from Bakersfield, California. California is thought of as a very health-conscious state. And so let's talk about, as you get into this season, are there things that you guys do or that you personally do in the off season, whether it's, you know, health, nutrition, like eating regimen that gets you ready to go?
Well, I love to eat bad food. So over the past few years, we've definitely, Dwayne and I have definitely tried to clean that up. You know, I'm probably 70% better. We do a lot better job, but still could definitely improve on that side of it. I think the fitness part of things has definitely improved for me. You know, the winter is one of those times when you can push yourself and not worry about how sore you are the next day or, you know, how fatigued you are or dehydrated. So, you know, most of the weeks from the end of the season to the start of the season, it's usually 5 days a week and four out of those five, usually a cardio session somewhere, whether it's a spin class or just running or just, you know, a normal workout after that is whether it's core, upper body, lower body. So you do that 4 to 5 times a week and try to push yourself. And then during the season, it's really about maintaining and keeping everything where it is. And the hardest part about what we do, for me anyway, is keeping my weight up during the summer because, you lose 4 or 5 pounds a race of just water weight. And so rehydrating yourself during the summer months and keeping weight up is the hardest thing that I fight through those summer months.
Well, always been an example, kind of a leader, kind of a role model when it comes to the things on the track. Maybe not so much at the dinner table, but on the fitness side, you're doing that. So let's talk a little bit about the Kevin Harvick Foundation. I was really excited to hear how you do racing. People know you as racing, but it doesn't necessarily define you. You have so many interests in sports, and you got together with Cal Ripken Jr. to build some ball fields and try to help kind of steer kids into, I guess, fulfilling their potential when it comes to what they can do.
Yeah, the Kevin Harvick Foundation and the Cal Ripken Foundation, you know, we've definitely enjoyed a great partnership over the last several years. We built a brand new ballpark behind the Boys and Girls Club in my hometown in Bakersfield, California. All synthetic turf field, you know, a great safe place for the kids to play behind the Boys and Girls Club. We built one in Greensboro behind really what is going to be a brand new Boys and Girls Club there. So, you know, that we've redone sports teams. We've gone into my local hometown high school and redone the baseball team with new uniforms and balls and bats and gloves, because a lot of these kids don't get the opportunity, especially in a neighborhood where I grew up. It's a little bit of a poor neighborhood where the kids don't have as many opportunities maybe as they need. So to go in and whether, you know, we went and redid the wrestling room because the room was condemned to black mold, but the school didn't have enough money to go in and clean the room and put new mats in and put new walls up. So We've redone the wrestling program. We've redone the baseball program, the football program. Just trying to give these kids an outlet to go out for these sports, because they can't afford to buy the shoes. They can't afford to, you know, to buy a pair of golf clubs. You know, we went in and bought 22 sets of golf clubs to make sure that the boys and girls teams had the clubs at the school, because the kids aren't going to go out for these sports if they don't have the equipment already there. So if we can change the direction of, you know, a handful of lives here and there, and you know, get these kids the opportunity to do something and be out of their homes more than they already were to go to sports practices, and they automatically have to keep their grades up in order to participate. So we're killing two birds with one stone there, and hopefully we're making a difference. I feel like we are.
Oh, that's okay. The sports is the good thing when you could do it, and I think that sports in general transcends the type of sports. Now, you as an inspirational situation as far as what sport you would go into at, you know, kindergarten, right? You got a go-kart, so you knew what you were going to do. I've got an 8-year-old, and my stepdad's a racer, and he made him a go-kart. It goes about 45 miles an hour, and my kid is 8 years old, so I'm, you know, without the helmet and the Hans device, I'm a little scared to let him do it. So, but other than the go-kart, what was your first, like, actual regular car? Did you start out with something really cool and fascinating, or something more humble people can relate to?
Well, when I first turned 16, I shared a 1981 Chevrolet Stepside pickup with my dad, who was a fireman, and I got to drive the truck on the days that he was at work. So I think I bought my first car when I was 18, and it was a 1988 Chevrolet Camaro. So I tore that up, and from that particular point on, I think I bought a pickup truck, and you know, since then it's been okay. So, but my first one, I had a lot of interesting conversations with my dad when I would have to take the big pickup truck back, and it would have a scratch or a ding, or sometimes it would have piled up rubber inside the fender wells. I thought I would clean the truck really well, and little did I know that, you know, burning the tires off the back of the truck would get stuck in the lips of the fender. And my dad, he'd figure it out, and he'd know exactly what we were out doing. So it was, definitely one of those times where we had fun and we thought we were getting away with something, but in the end, parents know the best, right?
All that misbehaving is definitely paid off, and hopefully all that experience is going to pay off this weekend. So, Kevin, give us the website for you so people can find out everything that's going on with the Kevin Harvick Foundation and all the good things that you're doing. Get involved and support it. And then, of course, for the racing site to keep up with all your adventures.
Yeah, pretty much everything about on both sides of for the Kevin Harvick Foundation and really anything for the racing world that we do. You know, you can go to kevinharvick.com and find out pretty much all the information that you need in anything that we participate in. So should be pretty informational site if you want to find anything out.
Kevin, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for everything going on, and good luck, and thanks for being on the show today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
WGN on the road with Dane, and on the line with us, she's just got a couple minutes, in high demand as people plan their vacations. It doesn't seem anything like, you know, we'd be getting towards summer, but with the weather we've had in the Midwest, people are thinking about it. On the line is Expedia's Vice President of Global Communications, the one and only Sarah Gavin. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Dane.
So coming up, people are planning ahead. They want to get away. The economy is doing a little bit better, and people are looking to get out on the road and bring that family along.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's a really good year to be a traveler. Airfare prices are down about 4%. They're at the lowest that they've been since 2013. So taking to the skies is a very good, affordable thing to do this summer.
Well, for summer destinations, we're going to do one of our first kind of family truckster vacations, pile everybody in the car, maybe see Yellowstone Park. But what are some of those best summer deals that people are looking for the family side?
So if you're doing a road trip, you know, what you really want to do is save money on hotels. The number one way to do that is a new travel hack that's sort of just come on the scene in the last couple of months called member-only deals. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. When you go onto the website, like an Expedia, a Travelocity, a Hotels.com, sign in before you do anything else. Then you can do your search, and what you'll find is, you know, magically, about 60,000 of the hotels you were just looking at are now suddenly 10% less expensive just because you signed in. It's a really, really easy way to save on a hotel.
Well, I find sometimes, you know, I'll book things last minute. You can sort of, if you fly by the seat of your pants, you know, get some good deals. But do you recommend people planning far in advance for their vacation and locking it in?
You know, if you're going to fly somewhere, lock it in. If you're doing a road trip and you want a little bit of spontaneity, really looking at your mobile phone as your best friend to find those last minute deals is a really good way to do it. And, you know, I find as a mom, I can sort of let my kids be in the driver's seat a little bit when it comes to choosing hotels at the last minute if we're doing a road trip.
Nice, nice. Okay, so you know what we're doing, and you've helped out listeners that are doing the same. But what are some of the most popular destinations coming up this summer?
So, you know, this summer, it's really all about the strength of the U.S. dollar and the ability to go abroad more affordably than, you know, in any recent summer. You know, but that counts for Canada, for Great Britain, and for all of continental Europe, and also Mexico. You know, the U.S. dollar will stretch really, really far this summer. Places like London, you can get package deals of, you know, a flight and a hotel together up to 40% off right now.
Wow. Okay. So even with kind of the world climate and there's just so much unrest, as there always is, but you hear about that. So is that kind of, a byproduct of that, is that the deals are there because some people are afraid to travel, or should people be brave and get out there?
Well, what we really saw in London, for example, is that post-Brexit, the difference between the pound and the dollar really changed, and the dollar got very, very strong versus the pound. So that's a little bit more Brexit-related.
So let the listeners know we're talking with Expedia's Vice President Global Communications. So, Sarah, Expedia is the place to go for all of that information, finding places, locking them in, getting your travel stuff done. Give us the website.
Yeah, absolutely. Expedia.com/summer vacation. And I'll tell you, now's a really good time to go. There's special coupons on there to save money on your summer trip. And for everybody who uses one of these special coupons, we'll donate $100 to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, which is one of, you know, this country's finest medical institutions.
Wow. Okay. So a great cause and also a great vacation included from Expedia. Sarah, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have her. And as people are thinking about what they're going to do this summer, it isn't always going to be road trips to the Grand Canyon. Some people make, I don't want to say religious, but they're very regimented about the pilgrimages that they make to some of the great communities all around Chicagoland. And we're going to be featuring some of those here on the show. Coming up after the break, we're going to have Larry McIntyre and Ron Gutter from the village of Westmont. They do an amazing cruise night. We're going to hear all about all the car side of what it is that they do, the restaurants, the excitement that goes on with that, plus some of the other events that they've got going on. So stay tuned for that. 312-981-7200. You can still text in or call in your car, and we've got a list here. We'll read those before the end of the program, as well as your thoughts on cruise nights around Chicagoland. So stay tuned. It's Dane here on the road on 720 WGN Boards.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Hey, everybody. Danny the Count Coker here from Counting Cars and Count 7. You are on the road with Dane. Come on, people, turn it up.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true, I'm here to say.
720 WGN, Dane Neal on the road here in the Allstate Showcase studio. And as we talk to some personalities in the world of motorsports or those in and around it that have that car connection, there are communities that have huge connections to cars on a weekly basis and completely and 100% dedicated and devoted to it, where they block off the entire streets and enjoy thousands of people and hundreds of cars in studio. We have one of those communities. It is the village of Westmont. We have Larry McIntyre. He is the director of communications for the village and also the founder of the Westmont Special Events Corporation, and also Christina Kaniskaita.
Right? Yes. Yeah,
close. Close enough. She is the office manager over there handling and making sure that those things happen when it comes to special events. Guys, welcome to WGN.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
So this is the kind of thing, and I've been involved with some of the cruise nights over the years, even on the radio side, as you got to see the Elmhurst Cool Cars Under the Stars. Used to be a Wednesday one. It started with just a couple cars, and you see how it can kind of organically grow. Two people show up, two people tell two friends, then maybe some of them have a good time, you know, get together, see some cars, talk to each other, commiserate, and maybe enjoy some of the amenities of the community. And then the next week, you know, there's more people and they tell two friends and so on. It can work in the opposite if you're doing things wrong. But for Westmont, this has really worked out. You've got a popular spot.
Absolutely. We've been doing this for almost 20 years. And I would say maybe the first 10 to 15 years, the event went well. But we only had like one parking lot dedicated to parking classic cars, and then people parked on the parallel parking. But then the community got behind us, and when I say the community, I mean the village of Westmont municipality, and they allowed us to block off three full blocks of downtown Westmont. And once the word got out, people started really showing up.
Was there a meeting? Because you wonder how some of these things that are important to people's, you know, how they enjoy their week or some of the things that they kind of dedicate their time to. Was there a meeting where you guys got together and kind of had to make that decision that said, you know what, I think there's potential here. I think that this could be a big thing, not only just so that the car people can bring their car somewhere and enjoy it. There's obviously that, but that, you know, for the whole town, for the community, for the businesses, that there could be some benefits. So number one, that's what I wanted to know, is if you guys got together at some point and said, let's flip the switch, or it was incremental. And did you check out any other cruise nights to say, well, they're doing a great job over here, or they seem to be doing this and this works or doesn't work? How did it go?
Yeah, absolutely. We paid attention to the other car shows around us. Right next to us was the Downers Grove car show, which was on Friday nights. And at that time, that was the largest show around. So we definitely paid attention to what they were doing. And within our community, we were just discussing, what can we do to make this bigger? What can we do to make it better? And we absolutely had to go before the village board and sort of promote the idea. And ultimately, they need a vote to approve the closure. And so we definitely got their full support. And once it happened, we started to see a huge change.
It's one thing to say, hey, we'd like to do this. But when you're starting to close down streets, especially, you know, which I think on the tail end of what would be drive time in a community that, you know, is you're not out in the middle of nowhere. You know, Westmont is right there in the middle, in the heart of Chicagoland.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you had to kind of make a case for it. And so were you able to, you looked at it and you kind of mentioned some of these other ones. And then was it something that the board went along with right away? Or did you have some people you could, I don't want to say fight with, but convince?
Well, we definitely had the idea in place for a couple of years, so it took some time for people to warm up to it. But then eventually, yeah, the elected officials said, let's do it. Let's pull the trigger and make this thing happen. And that's when we saw the change. The other thing was working with the business community, because there was conversation about if you do close down three blocks and you don't get the foot traffic,
right,
are you now hurting the businesses?
Right.
And so there was that concern and fear. But as soon as the crowd started showing up, success is makes everybody happy. And that's...
Well, it's contagious. You know, once you get that critical mass, a little bit of momentum past that tipping point, you know, and then once the word gets out, you know, because once you start to get it where the people, you know, that come from all over the place. I mean, I'm sure as you kind of walk those streets on a Thursday night in Westmont and you say to yourself, okay, well, where are these people from? You're probably, they're not all from Westmont. You know, they're from all over the place. Some people make quite a trip.
Yeah, actually, Christina does a great job because she goes out to other car shows and promotes to all the other car shows, and then those people do show up.
How do you do that? Now, Christina, of course, and letting people know, it's Christina Canusketa, and she is the office manager for Westmont Special Events. But really, you're the one that is that conduit, the ideas that the community has, that the village has. We'd like to see this happen. You have to put it into motion and make it actually occur.
Well, absolutely, and it helps that I absolutely love classic cars, any cars, and for me, that was fun, going to shows and talking to people and inviting them, and I think it's a positive.
Now, did you ever stop out on a night that was the same night as your show, and then did you have to be kind of incognito? Were you in disguise? Did they figure out, oh my gosh, it's Christina, she's trying to steal people away from our show?
No, actually now people recognize me anywhere I go, so.
And we specifically have it on Thursday nights. We're not really competing with anybody around us.
Nice.
So we go to other shows on like a Tuesday night, a Wednesday night, a Friday night, and then we allow them to come to our show too and promote their events. So because if you're a classic car lover, you might hit 3-4 shows a week.
They absolutely do. Yeah, we've got in our family, you know, our parents, you know, they travel to a bunch of these things over the years. Not so many this last year or two, but over the years, tons of different places. So Christina, as you were out looking at some of these other shows, looking at maybe some of the best practices, things that they had built into their shows, or maybe things they were doing that you said, geez, this isn't something we'd want to do. What were some of the things you saw that said, hey, we need this, you know, not just the cars, but some of the other elements?
Well, every show is different. So they promote different cars, or it's a theme, we always try to take the best, what could be the other show would have it. But as of right now, our show, it's pretty going well, and we're happy about it.
Yeah.
I think entertainment is a big part of it as well. Yeah. We have live bands every week. Actually, we usually have two bands every week on the north and south side of the layout. And then we have kids' activities. The library comes out and does kids' activities every single week. And then we also get community organizations involved. So it's a full community event that tries to get everybody participating.
We're going to get into some of the things on the business side and how they've been involved and kind of worked with it, especially on the restaurant side, because once the people get there, a lot of times they're going to want to walk around and you know, eat, drink, and enjoy some of the establishments. But just as you know, the village, I think, the town is a star. It really puts it on a showcase. Because you're able to have, you know, people show up there, then maybe try a restaurant or a store, and then they'll make a trip back on a date when it isn't necessarily the car show. But I wanted to ask Christina and also you, Larry, too, is so the community is the star, but also the cars are the star. In our family, we've got a 1972 Hemi Cuda that my stepdad has, and it is the kind of car that someone like Christina or would come and try to recruit that car. I remember early on in Elmhurst, it was like, well, it's like you got to bring this car because it will draw other people.
People.
I mean, do you have a couple cars like that?
Well, I think every single week's some unique car that's showing up for the first time that we're seeing. We say, we love that car. What can we do to make sure you come back? And
maybe some free appetizers at the local restaurant?
Absolutely.
This year, we actually having a new theme. It's a movie car theme. So we are looking for those cars famous, you know, for different movies.
So like the Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo?
Yep, absolutely.
A DeLorean, Lise, nice job. Yeah, Lise had mentioned. So cars, there are not a ton of DeLoreans. But so before we go to this break and when we come back from it, on the other side of it, we're going to have Ron Gunter is going to be joining us, the mayor, of course, of Westmont. And he's going to be talking about some of those things. But kind of run us through the experience of what people feel, the sights, the sounds, the flavors for the cruise night there in Westmont.
Absolutely. So the show is every Thursday night, June, July, and August, 5 to 9 p.m. And it is in downtown Westmont, which is just north of the downtown railroad tracks. We block off three full blocks, and then we put out information in terms of letting the classic car owners know where to pull in. And once they arrive, they're greeted by a volunteer. We introduce them to the event. We hand out information about the different specials that are going on with the restaurants. And then we allow them to kind of park with their friends because it really is a social event. And then they find a place to park. But then over the course of the next 3-4 hours, people will socialize. But then they'll also stop and eat at our restaurants and listen to the music. And so there's a lot of activity.
So people love the music. That's something. And we've gotten some text in where people love the music. Military night, where you not only have, where you kind of, you know, you take a separate kind of part of the society, the community or whatever, and honor them. And I think military night is a good one. Do you have any other specific nights that you guys do?
Well, we do a fire vehicle and a police squad night, which we end each event with the siren and lights parade.
See?
And
see.
It's the biggest one in Illinois.
Wow. Okay. So you guys are doing it and doing it right. And a lot of things happen in Westmont, even beyond that. When we come back from the break, we'll take a quick break. Then we're going to send it to news. When we come back, we'll have Mayor Ron Gunter on. He'll talk about kind of the impact on the community side and things beyond the cruise night that are happening in Westmont. So stay tuned. 312-981-7200 to add your thoughts. It's Dane here on the road on 720 WGN.
Hi, I'm John Force, and you're on the road with Dane, WGN, and I'm still the champ. I'm not just Ashley's daughter. I mean, she's my daughter. I'm still her dad.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line.
720 WGN. It is Dane Neal on the road with Dane here 2-4 on Saturdays. And in studio with us, we've got the Brain Trust, the Automotive Brain Trust from the Village of Westmont. Larry McIntyre is with us. We've also got Christina Kanyoskaita. I gotta get better.
There we go.
At that. And on the line with us, we've got for a couple minutes, we got to get to the Cats game. We've got Mayor Ron Gunter. Mayor, welcome to WGN.
Thank you.
So we've been talking with your guys here, your team, and of course Christina, about the amazing success that that the cruise night is, and that it's kind of redefining at least one of those things that Westmont, in a very, very positive way, is getting known for.
It certainly is. I think Westmont's always been a special event community with family-friendly activities, and cruising night just has taken it to another level. We run at least a half a dozen special events through the year, and cruising night, since we closed down Cass Avenue, has really taken off.
Well, the cruise nights are going to be big. They talked about it quite a bit, and we know that you're trying to encourage some of the car clubs to get involved and get out there. But, Mayor, I wanted you to run through in the couple minutes that we have left some of the other events that people are looking forward to. And I get a big barbecue event coming up in Westmont.
We do. Our Lions Club runs a barbecue competition over Memorial Day weekend at Ty Warner Park. It's a great event. They've been doing it for 11 years now, and it's sanctioned, so we invite everybody to come out. The cruise night starts June. Immediately after that, we have our July 4th celebration at Ty Warner Park, which is second to none in the entire area. The Taste of Westmont follows that on the second weekend of July, runs Thursday through the Sunday. We have Holly Days, which is a month-long winter fest activities that is run by the entire community. Every community organization, every municipality, the special events court, we all get together and run activities for the from Thanksgiving through January 1.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great things is when you can, you know, as the mayor of a community, have different reasons for not only the residents there to get excited, but other people around Chicagoland to get excited to visit. You know, a lot of them are visiting because the cruise night is so successful, but they're going to come back and enjoy those other events. And so, and Larry, I wanted to, before we let you go, give out the information so people can find out more about Westmont, get involved in the cruise night, see the activities, and see what's going on there.
Absolutely. Our website is westmontevents.com, and when you land on that page, there's direct links to all community events and specifically Taste of Westmont and then also the Cruising Nights. But from that website, you can find out information about all events throughout the year. We also encourage people to just call the office directly, and that's 630-829-9378. And that's, of course, for people who want information about the events. But these events would not be possible without volunteers. We literally have hundreds of volunteers that help us out over the course of the summer. And actually, each week for the street fair, it's probably 20 volunteers per night. So people who are interested and get involved should just get in touch with us.
Yeah, it happens with the collective efforts of so many. And so thanks, guys, for sharing everything that's going on in Westmont. Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Christina. And thank you, Mayor Gunter. Thanks so much for being in WGN today.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
All right. And we're going to wrap up the show right now. Thanks to everybody who listened. Thanks to everybody who participated on the road with Dane, 2 till 4 here on 720 WGN. And so 312-981-7200 is the way to go ahead and text in. We're going to read some of those, the ones as far as the cars, your first car, some of the cruise nights that you love and support, and also some of those great road trips. And for next week, we are going to have some great guests. And Larry, I don't know if you're like an auto racing fan. We're going to have John Force on. We're going to have Danny the Count Coker from Counting Cars, you know, where they do a lot of those, a lot of cars that you would probably
hope to see
in Westmont. And we're also going to have, I think we'll have Michael Simon on, chef from The Chew, if you're familiar with The Chew, if you've ever seen that show. His dad, actually, he's got a great car connection, worked his entire career and retired from a Ford plant in Cleveland. And Myron Mixon. Have you heard of Myron Mixon? He's a barbecue guy.
Sure.
He is the winningest man in barbecue. Just ask him. And so he'll be on with us as well. And he's doing some great events on the auto racing side as well. So, Lise, we're going to have, I think probably this week, we'll have a Facebook page up so people can go ahead and send in the pictures of themselves with their first car, a little bit of backstory. And we'll have that up. It sounds good, right?
Sounds good to me. I have a picture of my 1996 beloved.
Larry, first car, quickly?
A Chevette.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an honest Larry. And Christina, first car?
Mitsubishi.
All right. Okay.
But I quickly went to a Gran Torino.
All right. Sounds good. We are going to send it. Go Cats and go Northwest. We're going to send it up to them. Again, this is thanks for listening. It's been Dane on the Road on 720 WGN.